This is all your fault. You did that trick, so you've got to speak to him.
It's quite daunting speaking to all these evangelists, and sort of thought quite a long time about what I ought to say. I could talk about marathon, couldn't I? You know, we could start talk about, you know, fixing your eyes on Jesus and, you know, finishing the race and all that. But, I mean, you've done all that already. You've been there. So I just thought some random thoughts, really. Things that have been blessing me. I love Psalms. I just, every time I read Psalms, I find something I didn't see before. And I've been reading them for, I don't know, pretty nigh on 50 years. And yet, that's an amazing thing about Scripture, isn't it? Because God will highlight to you what you need to know at, you know, for such a time as this. And every time you read the Bible, you will often find something that you hadn't actually seen before. And I find that really exciting. It excites me. And the thing that I've been looking at over the last few weeks is Psalm 89, verses 14 to 15. And Psalm 89, verses 14 to 15 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord." Righteousness and justice. And actually, I like the King James version of the second part of that verse, because where here it says love and faithfulness, the King James version, which of course is translating from the original, it's a literal translation. The King James version puts in there mercy and truth. It's very interesting. I don't know if you're interested in Bible translation. I'm fascinated by it. There are basically three types of translations. You get literal translation, King James. You get the dynamic equivalent translations, like the NIV, where the translators will look at the original language, and then they will try to put it into language which fits in with what people understand today. Because some people felt that, you know, looking at the King James Version, that the sort of 18th century, 17th century language is sometimes difficult to access. And so you get this dynamic equivalent. And then, of course, you get the paraphrase, like the Message. And I think I always use all three. But I'm weighted towards the King James all the time because it's literal. And interestingly enough, where here we've got love in the NIV, the King James never translates the word in Hebrew there as love. The word is chesed, and it's translated usually as mercy, sometimes as kindness, on the odd occasion as goodness, but mainly as mercy. And so mercy and truth, I thought, actually, that's much better. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before you. That made me think about Jeremiah 23:6. Jeremiah 23:6 says this: "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteous Saviour." The King James Version at that end there puts down the Lord our righteousness, which is Jehovah Tistkenu. You know that the names of God in the Old Testament, you get the various Jehovah ones, like Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and there are about 10, I think, of them. But that screams Jesus, that little bit. You know, the Lord our righteousness, it's screaming at us, Jesus. A king who's going to reign wisely, who's going to be raised up, he's a branch of David. Interestingly enough, it says, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And of course, we're in the days of Jesus, aren't we, in one sense? And, you know, with what's going on out in the Middle East at the moment, I thought, well, actually, that's encouraging, that in the days of Jesus, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And so, thinking of these two verses that I've shared, it just shows us that the foundation of God's throne is talking about here as being righteousness and justice and love, faithfulness, or mercy and truth, as I prefer it. It's talking about Jesus. And that's the great thing, is that the Bible, from start to finish, is full of Jesus. Right through the Old Testament, if you look carefully, you will find things that are pointing us prophetically to Jesus. And then the gospel writers pick up this sort of idea. I mean, Luke chapter 4, for example, verse 18 to 21. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And actually, when you read that, that's justice, isn't it? You know? Freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's Jesus. That's righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. And I'm also reminded, one of my favorite verses actually in the New Testament is John 17:17, which says, Jesus is praying for his disciples and he says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." You can't get it more explicit than that, can you? Your word is truth. That's one of the most argued about things that's going on around the church. Not just outside the church, inside the church, about the truth of the word of God. Because there are so many churches these days that actually don't believe that God's word is the truth. And you couldn't be more explicit. Jesus says it. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be fully sanctified, made holy. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, guys. When Jesus was praying for his disciples, he's actually prophetically saying, yeah, I'm praying for all the people that are going to believe through them as well. His word is truth. Truth is what we need to rely on. We need to rely on the word of the truth of the word. Jesus said that he came to bear witness to the truth in John 18. I don't know if you remember, that's the occasion when Pilate's famous answer was, "What is truth?" That's a question that's being asked all the time these days. What is truth? You get all the philosophy type people who will want to try and somehow or other define truth and change it. And of course, John tells us in the prologue to his gospel that Jesus was full of grace and truth. So all these qualities of righteousness, justice, mercy, truth are represented in Jesus. In Jesus' act on the cross, the act of atonement, his substitutionary sacrifice, That is being questioned all the time these days by some modern theologians trying to undermine the whole principle of the cross. And yet they're all here. It's all here. It's a clear demonstration of Jesus. He's the living Word of God. And if we're going to follow him, we have got to pick up on this righteousness, on this justice, on this mercy, on this truth. I'm reminded of a song that a guy that used to be here in the early days of the church, a guy called Paul Oakley, written a lot of Christian songs actually, and he wrote one song with the chorus. It says, "It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me." And it's a great song actually. But the icing on the cake for this, and this is my final thought, is verse 15 of Psalm 89, because it says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence." That's what you've been doing today. You've been acclaiming, proclaiming Jesus. You're blessed. When you do this, you're blessed. God blesses you because of what you're doing. And you walk in the light of his presence. And I just thought that was a good way perhaps to finish the day. We're blessed as we acclaim the gospel, just as we've done today. And we also, as we seek to live our lives, walking in the presence of the Lord and building our relationship with him. So today, be blessed. Amen. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all of the interactions that have taken place, all of the conversations, all of the giving out of tracts and magazines. And we just want to hold before you all those people who have been involved in these, all of the people who've taken literature, people who've been involved in the conversations. And we pray for fruit from these things. We pray that there will be people who are turning to you. We thank you for the opportunity that's been there. And I thank you for all these guys that have come to help do this today. It's been a great day, and we thank you for that. And Lord, now I would ask you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to pour out your blessing upon us. Amen.
Can you say grace?
Got to say grace as well. So, Father, we thank you for this food. We thank you for those who've prepared it. We ask that you'll bless it to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, one-way system operates out the door.